Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right. Pop Life Podcast today is the, I know today, it's well, the 22nd, actually. I'll just say 23rd.
You know, because y'all got a single dropping at midnight. Finally.
It's actually a little pack. It's like a little four pack.
Oh, it is.
It's four
okay.
songs. Yes, four okay. songs coming. Missy's coming tonight, midnight. By now, because that, you know, some of the cats out the bag. Obviously, the music's dropping tonight. She's performing on the VMAs on Monday, getting the Video Vanguard, the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. Mm-hmm. She's got a pop-up museum that will be open Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going on Sunday.
Yeah, the Missy Pop-Up Museum. So I'm going to try to shoot by there Saturday, actually. It's already sold out. I mean, it wasn't money, but you're over tickets. It's going to be a madhouse, which is good, because it's, you know, people are excited, you know, for her to drop and stuff. So here we go. It's like a weird, it's a weird space to, as a, you know, I mean, I'm no comparison to her, you know, thoughts and everything, but even just for me, on my minuscule level, like, you know, because you've been working on something and then, like, now it's coming out, you're like, niggas gonna like it. I don't know. It's just the people will decide. But you'll see. The video was fucking, the first video was awesome.
So is the video dropping at midnight as well?
Yes.
I mean, by the time this comes out.
Yeah, by the time it'll be out. Yeah. So, yeah, here we go.
It's time. I'm excited.
Yeah, I rode my bike earlier, but then I was getting calls from the job. I didn't even enjoy my ride, man. Damn.
You can't be trying to ride your bike on release day, man.
I was trying to, man.
You can't.
I took my I was like, I'm gonna give it's me a quick ride in because we was talking. It's mad humid here.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to end tonight, but like these are the perfect days and nights to ride because you sweat like a pig.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was geeked about it. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get it in. I didn't finish. But whatever. You know what I'm saying? This is what I signed up for.
That's what you signed up for.
That's what I signed up for. So,
it's
you know.
Finally time. So y'all got it in by end of summer, so I'll give you that. Because I kept saying y'all got to get it in before.
Yeah, we got it in by end of summer. And this also gives us the opportunity to get the Grammy nominations.
Yeah.
Which is important, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give me a little outfit for Monday.
little
light fit, you know. You going, bro?
No.
Yeah, I ain't
absolutely not, bro. I'm gonna drop some people off.
Just give me
a parking pass. That's literally what I'm gonna do. Probably park, throw my iPad
on. You gonna watch it on Slingbox in the car.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In between that and the whatever football game is on.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? That's it. But how's everybody doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Everybody's good?
Yeah, today was a long one, but
You're here. Oh, sidebar. So, I mean, again, the show will be, by the time the show comes out, it won't matter. But Missy's been rehearsing in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out to one of the rehearsals this week, past, because it's Tuesday. But what this isn't about the rehearsal. My point is, I hadn't really been through that. I mean, you would know way more than me. But, like, for those who don't know, like, Newark is the next to fall on this gentrification shit.
Oh, yeah.
They coming. Let me say something. Not the whole city, because the city's too big.
Mm-hmm.
For the whole city's not gonna fall. It's still gonna be pockets.
The area around NJ Pack though.
The NJ Pack and where that little Whole Foods is and all that. Mm-hmm. I saw like the people with the bags, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it'll spread out somewhat. I know they're already in Harrison a lot too. But you know, you would know better than me.
Bit, right?
Well, Jersey City's
gone.
They gone.
That's
so, like, there's some cats way up in the back, but
they basically built out that whole back side.
Right.
That used to all be old factories and lots.
Right.
Well, that's when they turned into lofts.
Yes, yeah, so they turned into lofts and they sort of worked themselves back. But Newark, you know, look, I'm no real estate speculator, but they've been selling us on that Newark shit for
like
20
years.
For like 20 years.
Okay.
Like, literally, when we were looking for a house to come from Jersey City, Right. They was trying to sell us on the Newark shit.
It started. Wait, how long is NJ Pack there? Because I feel like it started when they brought NJ Pack there.
NJ Pack has been there for at least 15 years.
Because they started there, when they built.
McCoy was there, right?
It started when it, yeah, it started no, when they.
I think Sharp James. Okay. Was there when NJ Pack opened.
But I remember it was a big thing when NJ Pack came. Yes. They were like, oh, now it's going to be like a hub.
It was going to build a waterfront.
Yes, they have not built said waterfront. That has not. And we're using waterfront very loosely. Okay, that is
there's just some water.
Yes, that's some murky ass.
Listen, if they could do it to the Hudson,
but you know they've been selling us on that for a very long time.
That's true.
And Newark doesn't. I mean, listen, man, they're dealing with fucking lead in the water right now.
Yeah, it's Flint, Michigan type shit.
I don't know if it's to that level, and I'm not dismissing the issues that they're facing. Right. I'm saying I don't necessarily know that it's to Flint's levels as much as this is what happens with big cities, man, when you don't invest in infrastructure, when you don't, over time.
And it's an old city.
Yeah, it's a very old city, mm-hmm. and it's compact, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's one of the more compact cities. It might be the most compact in Jersey.
Yeah, cats is on top of each other, for real.
Yeah, so they've been selling that for a while. There's a couple of pockets of really nice places, but it's a pocket here and a pocket there, and it is not gentrifying at the rate. It's not Brooklyn. It's not Harlem.
Yeah.
It's not what we've seen
even
there.
The Bronx now.
It's not at all going to be that. Because it's still difficult to
and
get to New York.
I don't think
New
the
York.
Bronx is going to move quite as quickly as you think either, Jeffrey. I mean, it's moving, but it's been a
the
very
South Bronx,
slow process.
The South Bronx is going to move because of its proximity.
Well, it's moving.
Right. Yes, but as you start to
ain't gonna be no white folks up in Parkchester.
This is why I've always said the last bastions of Brooklyn is East New York and Brownsville.
Because it's far out.
Because it's uncomfortable to get to.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't just jump on a train
exactly.
and be at, you know, Wall Street in 20 minutes. You're
transferring trains
nobody wanna do that.
Yeah, so South Bronx is definitely like there's about now that South Bronx has two hot restaurant spots. There's a spot called Zona de Cuba, which is actually owned by Fernando, the cat that owned La Marina, who actually also owns Papacito's, who I didn't even know he owned that, too. Oh. So he just opened this. It's right on the Grand Concourse. It's beautiful. Like, it's got this huge rooftop with the big couches and palm trees and all that.
Oh, look, the
high-end food. It'd be flooded, though. It's packed.
No, I mean, but the people we're going there, they're not going there.
Oh, no. Yeah, the Congress people can't, no disrespect, they can't really afford it because it's not cheap. And then there's another spot called Bistro, which is like a hip-hop kind of restaurant. I forget the cast name that owns that.
Oh, the one that does. They do,
they do a good brunch.
They do like a beats brunch. Yeah
exactly.
I've heard
of that. So the South Bronx is bubbling like for restaurants.
But when I said we're going there, I meant people of color. Why are you only going there? No.
Well, no. Yeah, I'm one of them. It might go a little bit, but
I ain't going
there. They
gonna come there. They gonna see us in there with the motherfucking loud music
and the hookah
and the chains and the hookahs. Yeah. They gonna be like, we gotta take Ezra someplace else.
Right, like how La Marina never really turned into.
Yeah, that never curled all the way.
It was us.
It was way too much rah rah.
We good. Oh, so I got a movie review. I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Last week.
I see a lot of criticism of it.
It was really interesting. It moves very slow in the beginning, and then it kind of picks up some steam midway through. And I thought it was going to be, because I tried not to read too much about it, and I really thought it was going to be like a Charles Manson kind of thing. But it is, but not really. Like, there's a piece of it, you know, I don't want to give it away. There's a piece of that stuff at the end.
Man, that shit been out for a month. If a nigga ain't seen it yet,
right?
I don't know what to tell you.
So, well, first of all, it's kind of a fantasy because the three people... who killed Sharon Tate. Sharon Tate's played in the movie by Margot Robbie. She does a great job at it. And then the people who came to kill Sharon Tate, which is Squeaky Fromm, this guy named Tex something, and there was four of them. One of them actually, in the real story, is four of them came to kill her, and one of them actually ran, left. And then the other three went in. But then in the movie, they don't kill her. Like Brad Pitt's character kills them. So, but Brad Pitt actually steals the movie to me from Leo. Leo's really good, but Brad Pitt, like, he kills it, his role. It's long, though. The movie's mad long. It's like when I'm...
Tarantino's bag,
it's like
man.
240 something, 250.
And shit don't even need to be like that.
It don't need to be like that, bro.
You know.
It was too long. I would recommend it, but I would recommend... You could lay and watch it on Netflix or at the crib. And then, like, yo, you gotta see it in the theater. Yeah. You could wait on it.
I would say the same on Hobbs and Shaw. I went to go see that.
How was that?
Weekend. It was exactly what you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock and Jason Statham. The Rock and Jason Statham and Idris Elba in a fucking leather bike suit. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, what
so you already know.
Yeah, these motherfuckers.
Jumping off buildings.
Throwing chains onto helicopters, pulling helicopters down. Like,
yeah, come on, bro. What are we doing? Yeah. But you know what it is.
It's what you're going for.
Exactly.
Okay, so
exactly.
I got my popcorn.
Yeah, and you good.
And my hot dogs. I do the whole movie experience when I go fuck with them.
You might as well.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Yeah. It was great. They could have shaved off about 20 minutes on that. Yeah. He need to be two. Mm. It was about 220.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Like, it's too long for action comedy shit.
Give me 90, 80, yeah. 80.
Yeah. Give me a buck.
Maybe a buck.
Yeah.
Because we're just not conditioned for that length anymore.
Yeah.
Like, remember, movies used to be 2 hours standard.
Yeah.
We're not really conditioned for that anymore.
Watching movies on... Netflix or whatever, like now you can stop them.
Right.
So we're not used to having to actually sit. It's like, you know, I'm gonna stop this. I'm gonna, you know, get on my phone. I'm gonna do it, and I can get back to it at my leisure. We don't have to actually like lock in for 2 hours.
What was my question for you? Did you watch Amazing Grace yet?
I ain't watched it yet.
God damn it!
I will though. I promise. By the next time, well, you're going on vacation next week. So by the next time. You come back and we do the full panel. I'll be ready for y'all.
I also want to say, I don't know how long this has been out, but somebody on Twitter was talking about documentaries the other night. So I watched this last night because I couldn't sleep. There's a documentary on Netflix called To Zachary, A Letter About Your Father.
Mm.
And if you've never seen it, but like watch it during the daytime, like it's heavy at the end.
Okay.
So don't watch it like late night or because it's going to fuck you up. But it's so like well constructed.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had to put that out there because the question was, what's a documentary that you've seen and it just stayed with you for weeks? And a few people mentioned this one. So I was like, let me watch it. And I wasn't ready. But it's worth watching.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I got to mention... I say this on the show every couple months, man, but like, yo, the homeless thing in Harlem is getting, for the homeless thing in the city, we can go to Harlem in a second, just period.
De Blasio is trying to...
What is he doing?
He's
crazy.
Coming out with a new housing plan. So here's the thing. I was watching this happened, he happened to be on New York when they were talking about the housing plan. And New York, this shouldn't be any surprise to any of us who've been there. We talk a lot on here about all the new construction that's going up, which is happening in like every major city. I was in Greenville, South Carolina.
And they gentrified.
And it's the same. It's the same thing because it's been billed as one of the top places in America to move to over the last like decade.
Mm.
But in New York, you know, there's been new construction just everywhere, and it started with Bloomberg, and you know, it's the Euros coming over, and the Saudis, and everybody's buying pied-à-terres and all that other stuff. So and the housing share market with people snatching up affordable housing so that they can flip it for Airbnbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So over the last 10 years or so, New York has lost 1 million units with rent of $800 or below. 1 million units.
Say no way for people gone. To live.
Yeah, so someone was saying that pretty soon, like, we already have a term of the working poor, but the working homeless is about to become another phrase because, like, a person who makes minimum wage can barely afford, like, a standard apartment in New York. Not for yourself and your family, like, not without, like, three adults in the house or something like that.
Yeah, and they got those, you know, those allegedly affordable cribs that are in the, like, nice high rises,
but the rules to get it and the lottery rules to get it is
crazy.
Yeah, it's like
a family of four got to make like 20 grand or less.
Right,
like,
yeah,
it's retarded.
Right.
So yeah, but it's like I said, the trains, especially now, obviously because it's hot.
Yes.
The trains, like, dudes is laid out on a train like they in a bedroom, like they are laid.
Yes.
It ain't like a cat's like sleeping, sitting down. Cats be like laid across the seats, like. All they stuff everywhere, you know, lots of obviously people with seems to be mental issues all over the trains, and then again, I don't, you know, I don't go to Brooklyn and that much, so I don't know what's happening in those areas. But in Harlem, it is bonkers. Like, it is so many people, like, sleeping on the streets, pissed. I saw this woman pull her pants down and piss on 116th Street yesterday, midday. Like, it was nothing. Like, I looked at her, and she looked at me. Like, yeah, nigga, like, I had to go to the bathroom. What's the problem? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's getting worse, man. And I don't know what, like you said, the city's getting more expensive. You know, people can't afford to live here. I don't know what, and, you know, in a way, like, I'm not mad at them. I'm saying, but like, I have empathy because I'm like, well, somebody's, first of all, somebody's letting all these people out of wherever they were before onto the streets.
Yeah, I think, and we're so, getting fewer shelters.
Fewer methadone clinics.
Yeah.
And then people are like, I feel like that people are like hurting them into certain areas. Because also, you don't see that showing up on West Side. You don't see it on up East Side.
Well, I think it's more like they're hurting them out of certain areas. Like,
these up to Harlem. They'll go up there.
Well, also, these people don't live on the Upper West Side. You know what I mean? So it's like, why would they be there? They're going to be in the areas
where the clinics are.
Where the dealers are, where the shelters were, where they know people, where
they're comfortable, where they can move around, where they can, people are more likely to help them in panhandling situations. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The foot traffic is higher in those locations. So that's where I would have to believe that all of the choices that they make are a matter of survival.
Oh,
nothing is a matter of convenience, right? Yeah. So it's not like, I'm going to go here because I want to hang out on 72nd, third, as much as it's like, I can't do anything
over there. Nothing's going to happen for me.
Or I'm going to get locked up over there.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just bad.
Yeah, it's brutal, man.
Especially the East Side. It's just brutal. Like, Jesus, there's so many homeless people. It looks like the 88. It's like, they really just out here. They out here all night long. It's crazy. So, you know, God bless them, man. I wanted to mention also the Eric Garner case.
The cops specifically.
Well, Daniel
Pantanello.
Pantanello was fired from his job this week past after the incident happened 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was fired this week. I believe he's still... Well, it was interesting because I was talking to my cousin who's a police officer. We had a long talk about it. And at that point, because this was before... It was like the day before he got fired, we were talking about it when he was just suspended. And my cousin was under the assumption, as I think most of the police people in New York were at that time, that even if he got fired, he was going to be able to, like, get his pension and all that stuff. But it's come out. Like, last thing I saw is, like, he's not getting it.
No, he doesn't get his pension. The commissioner confirmed that in his press conference, that he would only get his contributions to the pension.
Yeah.
He would get,
which is not
back.
Enough to gonna last you. It's not going to last him for life.
Yeah, I think he might have been rolling the dice on this a little bit, and I'm not quite sure.
You think he should have bailed earlier?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure at what point you're vested in order to retire and get those.
True.
But I think he had some time. I think this is like a 18, 19 year dude. This was not like a 7 year guy.
Right.
Wow. So like, yeah, that's a big pension to lose.
Well, it's also a big pension to gain. He's been contributing it to it for that long. I would have to assume that he gets some level of growth in that pension, right? So whatever that financial instrument is that, you know, that pension was going toward, he would then have to just get that. I can't imagine they would give him just back the money he put in with no interest or whatever. That's no way the union is letting that happen.
May not be fully vested.
Yeah, he may not be fully vested, so he probably does. He wouldn't have gotten things like, he's not going to get the health care. He's not going to get, the money for life, because that's really a big part of what's, killing municipalities.
You pay these guys so they die.
Yeah, and so with people living longer, they're actually people that are being paid longer in retirement than they have in service.
Yeah, because I got another cousin was a police officer. He joined the force pretty much right out of high school. Like, maybe he was like 20 or so, 18, 19, 20. So when he retired, he wasn't even 50. He was like in his 40s.
Yeah.
And he moved to Atlanta, because that's what they do. And he's been down there for like quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. With a second career.
Like, he does like security work.
Go to private sector.
So like I said, he retired like, Yeah, he was like in his 40s, like maybe like 43 or something like that. I mean, he already had done like the 20, 25 years because he started so, I think he had done 20 because he started so early. So like you said, so like now, he, I mean, God willing, he'll live to like, say he's like 85 or 90. That's way longer than he worked on the force.
Yeah.
It's like almost double the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's my thing. So he was on what, administrative leave for the past 5 years, desk duty?
Yes, he was basically on desk duty. He didn't have any contact
with the outside.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like this kind of a delayed firing is unfair. Like, you sit on it for 5 years, you put him on desk duty, unless there was an understanding that he may at some point be fired.
Well, I think this turned out to, first of all, with the union, they have to let the court process play out.
Right.
And the court process, they could not make any decision until the court process was completely finished. But hadn't it happened? No, it literally just happened. So what happened was, I think it was toward maybe the beginning of the year, you know, they chose not to indict him on any criminal charges. The Department of Justice declined to bring any federal charges against
him. That's when Garner's daughter was going hard.
And then so at that point, I believe what they do is basically an internal review board.
Okay.
And that internal review board had just sort of finished their investigation. And we're using that word investigation very loosely.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, here's what happens, right? The commissioner is in a position where he has to fire this guy.
Right.
Because they were hoping that within that 5-year period, that this had kind of gone away.
Right.
Because if the public perception of this guy not only getting paid, but this guy is not going to receive any level of consequence for his action, like it just really, it forced the police commissioner's hand.
Right.
He had to fire him. Or he might have been on the edge of a burning city.
Right. Yeah, because it was like you were rewarding this guy for killing somebody.
Yeah, right. I don't mean that loosely. Like, and for the record, the police commissioner during his press conference was incredibly disgusting, blaming Eric Garner, blaming his health, blaming everything but this fucking cop, and then tries to stand in this whole thing of, you know, I would be mad at me if I was still a cop on the street and all of it. He had no desire. His firing of that officer was not based on right or wrong. It was not based on
pressure. He was
absolutely put under the gun.
Like,
he
it was basically like, it was up to me.
Yes.
I wouldn't
and
have
so,
done this shit.
And so that's why what's going to happen is this guy's going to, he's going to get his pension money back. He's going to lay low for a minute. And guess what's going to happen? The Benevolent Association, Pat Lynch, all of those guys, they're going to call all of the people that they have from the NYPD that are now in the private sector in New York. He'll probably be working at some corporate gig.
Yeah, some hedge fund or
something. He'll be clearing, if not six figures, very close to six figures. He'd probably have a great benefits package. This guy is not going to land on his ass. If in the worst case scenario, he goes to some police department way the fuck out in Long Island.
Yeah, Jersey or something,
You know, this is what happens. Now, with the internet, it's a little different now. You know, people find you, they
harass track you down.
You know, so we'll see how this plays out. But, you know, the police commissioner, if that was an olive branch during that, you know, during that speech, like, miss me with that.
Don't cry for him.
Yeah.
Don't cry
for you.
Don't cry for Daniel.
It was utter bullshit.
Yeah, he'll be good. Pose.
Yes.
The Pose finale. I know you don't, you haven't watched this season, but, so they had the finale this past week. It was fucking great, yo.
I loved it.
Yo, this season was great.
This season
was great. And it was, not to cut you, sorry. Mm-hmm. I loved the setup for next season.
Yes.
With the younger kids. And for those who don't know, that was part of Paris's burning. There were young kids in the movie who they were kind of looking after.
Right.
That's where they pulled that from.
Yeah.
It was like perfect because the her children, air quotes, have all moved on.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be in the crib with Blanca. Blanca's health is, I thought she was going to die.
I was like,
are they about to kill Blanca?
Yeah, they can't kill her.
Because at the beginning, I was like, okay, Blanca might don't make it.
Well, in the beginning, so we spoke about this last week, how even though the season has been really strong, the storytelling has been strong, they've been kind of bouncing around a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think
like they
it's
had
because,
the light episode before this one.
Yeah, like I think it's because they really wanted to get, like I feel like with every season they're going like, just in case this doesn't get renewed, let's get it out, kind of.
Yeah,
which
end
I
this
which
shit
I
strong.
Get, right. Mm-hmm. And this season was a lot about telling stories that were based on real things that had happened mm-hmm. in the community. So I get that too. So I think that was the reason for some of the skipping around. Like mm-hmm. even Lil Poppy is based on what's the agent who coined the phrase supermodel? I can't remember his name, but anyway. But like Lil Poppy is based on like an agent.
Okay.
He wasn't representing trans women to my knowledge, but they're gonna kind of fashion
he's gonna become his, like a real
yeah. I think so. I usually do not like things tied up neatly in bows. But I don't mind that, like, Pose did it last season because they didn't know if, by the time the renewal was announced,
yeah.
you know, they'd already shot the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've already been renewed for season three,
yeah,
but I
have.
Still don't mind. Like, at first, when the episode started and they had pushed ahead 9 months, I was kind of like, this is a cheat code. But I didn't, mid-episode, I didn't mind it.
Yeah, but it kind of made sense because
it
pushed forward a lot of
storylines forward,
and like, you know, and we got to do that because, like you said, it was 9 months later.
I loved this. I actually went back and watched this ball scene like 3 times.
It was my favorite,
like between. This one's Vogue, between the Butch drags,
yeah.
Butch queens up in drag for the first time.
And how they had the women judge the men.
And yeah, like, that's actually, because the actress who plays Elektra is not a good actress, but it works for Elektra, because Elektra is supposed to be
over the top.
But her calling the ball, perfection.
And they actually, like, found a way this season to soften Elektra.
Yes.
But she's still Elektra. Like, she
exactly.
ain't no punk, but she definitely...
Like, she had a little bit of growth, but not so much that she's not still, like...
Exactly.
Wildin'.
She still cut your head off quickly.
Right.
But she, after Candy passed...
Yeah.
Softened
her up just a little bit.
Because that was obviously a devastating thing for her.
Between Candy and old dude dying.
Which dude?
The her client from the S&M thing.
Oh,
remember, she's still got a body in her closet.
In the crib, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great episode. I loved, you know, Pray Tell and Blanca, you know, linking back up.
Yeah.
I knew they would bring Damon back. But again, he's only back for like a bit.
Yeah,
he's
and
like,
he started his own house.
And I'm working and I'm traveling and I'm around the world. I'm not going to be here. And then it's a Poppy.
And Damon's about to go on tour, too.
That's what I'm talking about, Damon.
Yeah. I mean, no, Ricky. Ricky just said he's on the Paula tour.
Oh, I missed that.
He said he got the Paula Abdul tour.
Oh, shit, I missed that part, okay.
I think the Forever Your Girl. Wait, it was 91?
That's probably... Straight Up?
The one with,
Straight Up?
The
straight
one
up with
Cold Hearted Snake and all of that? Was that 91? Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's on tour with Paul.
Yeah, and I liked how, like, him and Pray Tell seem to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, they have a...
And Pray's like, it is what it is.
Is what it is. But, you know, but there's... it had a little scene together.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was genuine emotion there.
But Pray's like, he ain't living in my house.
Yeah, but now Ricky's making money, so you don't need to like lean on him like that. Now it was really dope how they did it. Just musically, and I tweeted this, you know, every time I hear and I've heard it now probably like 4,000 times,
mm-hmm.
But every time I hear that last minute 30 of "I'm Every Woman," it still fucking blows me away.
Yeah.
Like, it's that the production of that song is just unbelievable.
Is that the one where they go to the bridge?
No, it was at the end, which is like, whoa. It's just unbelievable. Right. They played in the show.
Yeah.
It was like, God damn, Chaka was just amazing. Ashton Simpson wrote that shit. It was dope.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just really liked it. I just really liked the show. And again, I just really liked them introducing the kids because Blanca needed that.
Yeah.
Because she's home alone. She's out
in
good health.
Yeah.
She's not in good health. And I like that they didn't, like, make her miraculously just be better.
Yeah.
Like, she's dealing with the shit, and I think next season it says we'll start in, like, 95.
Okay.
So those kids will be, like, now 18 and 19, probably, like, yeah. 19, and she'll be...
And by then, who knows, maybe Damon's back, maybe, you know, it just allows for
growth
to happen.
Yeah, But
what's tricky about 95, well, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but what's tricky about 95 is, like, not that ballroom culture had gone away, but it wasn't.
It was hip hop.
It was, yeah.
That was Biggie.
It had changed a lot.
You know, all that stuff had started kicking by then, like Bad Boy and all that stuff. So, I wonder how they'll deal with that. Because those kids will be hip hop kids. They won't be like ballroom
disco kids.
So I have to incorporate that. But, you know, it was dope. It was good. It was a good finale. Did you watch Queen Sugar?
You know, I'm still a season behind on Queen Sugar, so I'm just going to binge, because I've heard the season is excellent. So I think I'm just going to binge while I'm on vacation.
Okay. Yeah. And then when we come back, we're going to start talking about Power. And I actually didn't watch.
I still don't watch Power.
Do you watch Power, bro?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I didn't watch last season, so I got to binge last season.
But they did a whole big old thing at the Garden.
Yeah, the Garden, starts Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last season, so I think they're trying to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
And I think that this has turned out to be a basically Starz's flagship show.
Absolutely.
And it's ending, so they're, you know, looking to make this a thing. And it should end. It's time.
It's time. Yeah, it's run its course, but it's been a great 6 years. But it's run its course six seasons.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a nighttime soap opera, but just way over the top.
Way over the top.
It's like world.
It's like Dallas meets The Wire.
Word. Like this thing is not dead. What did y'all think about this whole shit with the Instagram post and like?
I think I
don't give you permission to use my photos.
How did y'all fall for this? Like what? But
the Russians got us.
The Russians get us with dumb shit.
There were people that I know better. Like
yes.
I know you know better. Like it looked like somebody had printed out a screen cap, whited out words, and typed Instagram on it over a typewriter and took a picture of that picture and then posted it. Like, how do you...
It was bad.
How?
And
how?
My thing is like this, so you
and
think,
it happened on Facebook so many times. How?
Facebook niggas, I get.
Yeah. Because
them niggas got all the conspiracy theories over there. But when it slid into the IG, which I, wrongly, I guess, deemed to be a bit younger and hipper... Like, I'm like, but you know, Facebook.
And it's happened on
a lot
IG.
Of Facebook people have now migrated to IG.
But it's also happened on, this has hoax has happened on IG before. But I'm also still just like, Instagram has no metric to read your specific.
That's what I'm saying.
But like,
also,
it does make sense.
Also, nobody wants man's first day of school pictures. I promise you, my nigga, nobody is going to see Lil Darnell.
Word.
And Nike is not going to take Lil Darnell's picture.
And put him on a fucking campaign.
Yeah.
Let's relax, people.
Yeah. There's no specific, because it was like, it was on Channel 7 News. Who's Channel 7 News?
They give you like these weird ass codes.
Like pursuant
to
code.
Put.
Yeah.
Instagram's terms and conditions.
That's Vanessa who works. Somebody's paralegal.
You literally could just Google like Instagram terms and conditions change, Instagram privacy change. But like I said before, even just the and then people tried to finesse it, and they were posting some other shit that had different language, and I was like, just fucking stop. We gave all these niggas everything they want from us. They got it already. Like ain't no shit changing. Like it's not. It's whatever.
What I also found hilarious was that. You niggas posted a 6-paragraph sheet that was a hoax about terms and conditions when you ain't read the original
terms and conditions.
So what make you think niggas is finna read? Ain't nobody even read all that shit, bro.
They just posted it.
They just reposted it.
I do not give you permission.
And it was in caps, too. I do not give
on
you
the
permission.
Stories and on your feed. They like, y'all need to be embarrassed. Like, and I posted that, too. I was like, ashamed of some of y'all. Like, y'all fucking know
about you in that picture with them fucking steaks, nigga.
Let me tell you something.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga.
If we got, like, if this many people, smart people, got on this, We are in so much trouble for the election.
But it's but you know what it does.
Deep fake videos and some whole other shit.
But you know what this does. But this is what this really shows is people have such an they don't want to feel sort of owned to some degree.
Mm.
And so anything that suggests that the things that they're doing somehow is invading their privacy or they don't have ownership, like it really sparks something, like you said, even in very smart people. When in fact, like, guys, you're on the grid.
Yeah. Right?
Like you're like so unless you're living on a fucking ranch in Wyoming with solar panels and fetching water out of a fucking hole in the ground.
Right.
You know, like stop.
Yeah.
Okay? Like
It's too late.
Yeah.
We're in the Matrix already.
There have been 17 fucking credit breaches over the last 5 years.
Huge. Right.
We're talking Target, fucking.
There was just the Capital One breach.
One, Equifax, Trent, all
and
that shit.
And you niggas worry about Instagram tickets, so pictures of the prime.
Yeah, but right meanwhile, you got your phone number linked to Facebook so anybody can fucking text you.
Nigga, ain't nobody taking that 560 score of yours and them old ass Bloomingdale's bills you got piled, them old ass doctor bills, nigga.
From 99,
nigga, you still ain't paid. Nigga, don't worry about it.
You ready to fall off your credit card.
Macy's credit card.
Yeah, Macy's credit card. You done paid $300 for that $100 Nautica jacket.
I'm ashamed of y'all. We in bad shape. It's kind of like, I mean, it's just, also, I said this a few months ago that I was also trying to be more cognizant of reading things before I repost, meaning also reading the actual articles before I repost a link. Because, you know, we're guilty of that. We'll repost the article, but all we read is the lead.
And then later on, you always be like, Jeff, this shit ain't real. I'm like, man, you know I ain't read that shit.
Or I'll be like, it's clickbait, right?
Yeah.
So I just think that all of us, like on a serious note, we all have a responsibility knowing how much discord was sown digitally in the last election and knowing that stakes are even higher this election. Like, we already got it happening with the ADOS shit, the American Descendants of Slaves shit. Like, we have to be responsible for what we're posting and what we're talking about. Like, we have to be. Unless you really want to repost it and say some shit. Like, I ain't even read the shit, but whatever. Yeah, but, you know what I mean? Like, jokes better than facts or whatever. But, like, just be careful. Like, take that extra minute to just be careful.
So, I don't want to go, you know, we've been kind of like avoiding the politics shit, right? And talking about Trump every week. Excuse me. But I just want to mention, like, honestly, fam, yo, I feel like, you know, conspiracy theory me. First of all, like I said early, these obviously got, like, some type of dementia.
Oh, 100%. Because
now he's just out here saying anything.
Like, this nigga said he's the chosen one.
He's just wilding. But bigger than that, I honestly feel like First of all, I feel like Putin's running this whole shit. And I feel like Putin looked at the shit and was like, you know what, fam? You're bonkers. I don't even know if you could really win again because you only got the same crazy people and people ain't really fucking with you. So let's just cause chaos. Like, let's just burn this motherfucker down. Which is why with the kids in the cages and he's passing, you know, the laws against transgender. Like, every few days they pass another, are trying to pass another law or introduce something else, which is just heinous. Not the Jewish shit. Like, I just think he got his marching moves of like, yo, just fuck shit up.
If you don't win,
this America's in pure.
Not a secret though, Jeff. That was Bannon's goal in the beginning. He literally wanted to just destroy the system. It was supposed to be anarchy.
But I even think Bannon didn't want it to go this far. I think Bannon wanted to fuck up the kind of like political system, but I don't think Bannon wanted to break the whole country apart.
But I mean, Bannon doesn't have any skin in the game because none of these. Just as a regular citizen, none of these things that are impacting the world are impacting him as a white man.
Yeah, he's
with access.
Yeah, he's good.
Right, and there's also like this is a global situation that's going on. So everybody, this is also another the case of everybody just reposting shit. So everybody's reposting about pray for the Amazon rainforest and all this other stuff. But if you've been paying attention, everybody's been telling us that this was going to happen since
the new Brazilian dude.
Oh,
he's worse than Trump.
Because everybody's like, like somebody said, why isn't America sending aid? I'm like, because the Brazilian government set shit on fire.
Yeah.
Like, it's a controlled fire. This is not an accident.
Yeah.
That's the part people are missing. That's what,
yo, did you see, the picture from NASA?
Yeah.
The whole fucking joint is burning. Like,
I mean, and never mind the fact that, like, I think I read that if 5% more of it burns, it reaches a tipping point that we can't come back from. And, like, literally, 2050 is going to be the hunger wars out here in terms of the environment. Like, we're at that point where, like, I think we're dangerously close to being past the point of reversal. Trump don't give a fuck. This dude don't give a fuck. Like, now we have people in control who are willing to sell off, like, to their oil and mining and whatever.
Yeah, they're like, let's get these indigenous people out of here.
And they don't give a fuck.
And build some shit over here.
Because the wealthy people, they probably got some caves and some bunkers. Yeah. And they can, it's like I said, it's going to be like the Hunger Games.
And that was another thing that people looked at your man like he is bonkers. But when your man was talking about the whole Space Force shit.
Yeah.
What he's really saying is, yo, we setting up to, like, fucking people with money are going to be able to, like, get the fuck up out of here.
Right.
And, you know, maybe we'll colonize Mars or something like that. But, like, we're setting up to, like, fly out while y'all, like you said, are on the ground just eating each other.
Mm.
But, yeah, like, and it's still a year to go before the election. And he's already, like, completely off his rocker.
All kind of.
And ain't going to do nothing. It's going to get worse.
I think that, you know, for me, he's so far past the point of any normalcy, sanity, whatever, that I've almost stopped registering stuff he says, which is dangerous because you're not supposed to normalize this shit. But him quoting a person on Fox News saying that, talking about how he's the best president for Israel ever.
He's the chosen one.
That he's like the king of Israel and said that he was like the second coming of God for the Jews, which, well, first of all, the Jews don't believe in the second coming of God because they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, which means they don't believe that Jesus is going to come back, but whatever. And then Trump himself said to a press corps looking at the sky,
I'm the chosen one.
And it's like, are you fucking, like, at what point, GOP, are you like, all right, this is enough of this nigga.
They have their marching orders. They have their plan. I can all but guarantee you that every person that is in the GOP that is in power has probably raised their personal net worth between 60 to maybe 100% during the course of this administration.
Yeah.
They are winning, and they are winning because they don't mind playing dirty. They don't care how it looks. Right. They are not concerned with optics.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's genuinely at the entire country's peril. Like, that's not hyperbole.
Yeah.
That's not overstating it. It is genuine. Like, I don't know how we ever restore the office of president. I don't know how we do it.
Restore the office. I don't even think he leaves if he is.
Oh, I don't either. We're going to have to fucking stage a coup.
Yeah. They really might.
You don't feel really, I ain't going nowhere.
No, we're really going to have to take to the street. Like, we're really going to have to be on some.
Them really might have to be, like, military personnel might have to actually drag go into the White House.
Agreed.
And really, like, stand there and, like, dude, like, get the fuck
pack
out.
Your shit
I
now.
Agree.
Like,
I agree.
If that happens,
he's
like,
been hinting
I would not
at
be
it,
surprised,
and he's not
dude.
Joking.
I would not be surprised. Look at all the, while he's doing all of these sort of smoke and mirror tactics and all of these, yes, Ivanka, Jared, those fucking ugly ass other boys he got.
Eric and
all them fucking evil sons of bitches, like, all of them are getting their way. They are putting themselves in the line of succession in business. They're putting themselves in the pockets and filling their coffers with all sorts of you know, different underhanded shit. It's just, it's the game that we're in. And this is how the sausage is made. Mm-hmm. And guess what? A lot of other people did it. Okay. They just didn't do it to this degree.
Yeah.
And now we see it. And I hope that we, like you said, I hope that we don't get to a point of no return. Although I think that, Even with this whole history is not going to look kindly on this. History don't give a fuck. Sean Spicer is just
announced
as
Dancing with the Stars.
No, Sarah, I mean,
Huckabee.
History,
Sarah,
like,
how could be just about to be
mean,
on Fox?
I mean,
surprise,
history,
surprise.
Like, 40 years from now.
Yes, but I'm saying history 40 years from now isn't going to show the ins and outs of what this is. Right. It's going to be a mention. Listen, the fucking the history books had us coming over here as fucking interns, basically. Right.
Word. Like, I mean, they've already softened on
unpaid
Nixon.
Unpaid workers. Right.
They've already softened on Nixon.
Yeah. Like, that's exactly.
I mean, yeah, like they know he's not.
We haven't softened on Nixon. No. So the one thing that I will
because
say.
Because there are reports coming out now about how Ford?
Yeah, Ford.
Ford and then Nixon crafted the war on drugs. Like, these stories are happening now that didn't happen before.
But yeah, well, there's a whole... it's funny. I just listened to a podcast on NPR that talked about the war on drugs literally from its inception. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, yes. Because of digital media, we have people that are not sort of necessarily beholden. And so you have a lot of journalists that are able to sort of say, that's not really what happened here.
Yeah.
And also, too, you got a lot of old motherfuckers that are out of work now.
Yeah.
So them 60-year-old motherfuckers that really lived through that Watergate, that really lived through all of that stuff, that they can really talk about that stuff.
Yeah, they're writing their books and they're doing
so,
all that shit.
So, you know, we'll see, man. But,
yeah. It's just crazy, man. Like, this is fucking scary. It's actually, like, honestly, it's crazy. It's actually scary.
Yeah.
Because your man, like I said, it's still 12 months to go, more than 12 months before the actual election. And, like, if he's doing this now because he's panicking... Like, as things go on, if it keeps looking like he's not going to win, y'all ain't no telling what this dude
gonna do. It's really scary. And I think about somebody literally accused me of fear-mongering during the 2016 election when I was talking about how horrible it would be for Trump to get into office. And I was like, it's not fear-mongering if you legitimately need to be afraid.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fear-mongering because we actually need to fear this shit. You know what I mean? And now look, like, it's worse than I actually thought. Imagined, you know, and happened so quickly.
And,
like,
and you see
democracy is so fragile. That's the thing that scares me the most, is what we have learned is how quickly our system that we thought was built on all kinds of foundations and that was unshakable and the whole checks and balances bullshit, how quickly it can be manipulated and dismantled.
Did you see Hillary's tweet from Lizzo?
Yeah.
So that Hillary's sitting there like, and it's, yo, I keep saying, like, everything she said came true. Everything she said came true. Like, she was like, I told you niggas. Did you watch Black Ink? Did y'all either one of you watch it?
Like, which last one? Week? The new one?
The new one just came on Black Ink New York.
I don't watch New York
anymore. They do too much.
Oh, my God.
I really can't watch them. Like, they made my head. I can barely get through Chicago because they're so stupid.
They're so stupid. You know what I realized? I don't enjoy New York.
Right.
Okay.
New York is not, you know, the other thing is that, you know, New York is not, I don't know, like, they have this weird thing where, like, there's one, you know, there's shots when they are, like, super serious, like wildly, like, dealing with some really intense shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like... Strippers in the middle of the shop, and you're getting drunk. And like, while there's ass shaking in the middle of the shop, like, Sky is in the back, literally crying.
Yeah, having a nervous breakdown.
Like, what is happening right now?
And it's bugged because one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it, because the first episode came on, I guess yesterday. I watched it on demand today. But it's still the same exact. It's like, oh, Caesar's the Godfather, and let's have a party in the fucking shop. It's like, y'all have been doing this every year. It's just strippers, everybody getting drunk and twerking in the shop. Like, it's nothing new.
What I've also noticed is that a lot of... There's no different behavior between Chicago and New York.
Mm.
The difference are the characters, right? Like, the people in Chicago are a little more likable.
Right.
They're a little more fun. They're a little more loose. You know,
but it also takes a little bit longer for them to get to that point. Like,
Sky is
going to launch something
right from the door.
Like, from the fucking door.
Yeah. She did with her son. Her younger son, this week, is on the show, and he's kind of been hanging out with the older one, the one who don't fuck with Sky.
Mm.
So now he's getting high, crazy. Like, he was on the show. This nigga was flying. He was so, you could see it in his eyes. Mm. He was so high.
This is the same kid who was in the apartment, and if somebody got killed or somebody got shot.
I think so. Who got raised by the white folks down in Texas or whatever.
At the end of, like, last season, it was like some shit where it was like, he was at some place and one of his friends got killed or shot.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Like you could tell he has started going into a direction that wasn't really good for him.
Well, now he's deep in that direction.
Yeah.
And so Sky brings him over to her crib, and he's high as a kite, like flying. So she's in, and she's doing the Sky shit because apparently he stole some money from her. So she's like, "You stole from me, and I'm just been trying to be a good people with you." And he's looking at her, he's high, but he's actually ripping her apart. But quietly, he's just like, "Nah, you don't really care for me like that. Nah, you just did this for the show. Nah, you just wanted the money for your body. You just to alter your body more. It ain't about me." Like, he's destroying her, but he's not yelling.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's, because he's high.
Right.
And she's like, "Fuck that, yeah." And she tries to jump on him or whatever. And even after that, he's still like, "Yo, you know what I'm saying? I see who you really are now." He's talking just like this. "I see the truth. I see who you really are now. You're not for me." And she's just like, you know, she just starts going into the crying hysterics. But it's like, it kind of reminds me, I was going back and forth with someone online about, did you watch that, the Brian McKnight thing with his kids?
You know, I saw what it was all about, and I was like, it just didn't feel
The gist of it was, he has three older, he's remarried, I guess he has younger kids now. He has three older children, like 30, 27, I think his daughter's maybe like 22. And so his older kids are like, "Yo, you were never there for us. You were never there. You were always on the road and shit." So, and then I guess once him and their mom split, he was paying child support.
Right.
But again, was never really around.
Right.
So then the son, I guess the oldest son went on, both the oldest sons went on the gram.
And basically
father ain't shit and blah, 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 blah. Right. So then he goes on the gram. And he starts talking about, from his perspective, well, they did this, and I cut them off, and that's when they started spazzing, because I wasn't giving them money, and he's at 30 and 27, and he had to figure it out. And my thing to him was, my thought process was, again, and I'm talking shit, because we don't know. But if you were never there,
how are they supposed
there was
to
a lot of damage done that you didn't take into account, because you figured, yo, y'all got money, y'all are good. And so now, when they're really grown children, because they're still kind of feel like they're very immature, and they're doing all this wild shit, he's kind of like, "Well, yo, y'all niggas is grown, figure it out." But it's, and that's kind of, to me, with Sky, it's like, you were never there for these kids. Right. So now you want to be their mom, and they're like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Well, we kind of touched
on
that.
We talked on that.
And one thing I will say is that these are still very young men.
Yeah, Sky's kids are younger than Brian McKnight's kids.
So Brian, when Brian had those kids, and look, man, I'm completely talking shit right now. Nigga, Brian was a star.
Yeah, he was getting money.
He was not, like, he was on the road for real,
He was making bread.
So, I don't know how much he was there based on the fact that, you know, he could have been there or whatever the case may be, but, you know, it sounds to me like he was like, "Look, man, I've given all of the things that I could have given with my circumstances."
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, my nigga, you are 30.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you are 30. I'm not quite sure. Like, you want me to take you, push you on a swing? You want me, like I'm not really, you know, so
we'll
I
go
get
to
it.
Movies.
Right? So I get it. But what I will say is that particular, I don't want to say attack, because attack is a harsh word, but that attack, for lack of a better term, on Brian seemed very coordinated.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Very, very planned.
By all three of them.
Yes. Very planned. And that leads me to believe
there's something else going on.
That more of what he's saying is accurate.
Right. Like maybe they asked for something, he said no, and they were like,
there's some truth in between there.
Yeah. On both sides.
Yes. But I think that what he's saying is probably a little more accurate, because I remember the son was trying to be a musician.
Yeah.
And all
I
of that other shit.
That. Yeah.
And so maybe it didn't really pan out. Maybe he didn't really have a chance.
Like,
chops.
You should have got me a deal or whatever.
We know how that goes.
We know
that
goes.
But again, we always said this, man. When you are, to me, I always felt like when she started to sort of re-engage with her children in a way that was more parental, that she's starting from scratch at probably the most difficult time in their lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So she has no bearing of... She
She hasn't earned that spot.
Based on the show, she lacks discipline.
Totally. Well, I was about to say, does she have the skills to parent?
That's my
the other
point.
Thing. Like, yeah. If she you doesn't. Weren't parented, you don't necessarily know yes. how to parent.
Yes. And so I say this as someone with a kid mm-hmm. that is a young adult.
Right.
And I'm sure you can attest to mm-hmm. this. Like, that is, there are pockets of parenting that mm-hmm. require you to have some level of experience.
Right. Yeah.
That is not some shit you just walk into.
Ain't for play.
At all. Yeah. Definitely not at those levels.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're talking about the next few years and the next few decisions you can make are really going to be dictating the rest of your life, or has the potential to dictate the rest of your life. And not giving them that structure could really be detrimental. And it probably would have been best that that boy stay down there in Texas and go on to the service.
It absolutely was the best thing for him to do.
Yeah.
Once he left, and we don't even know all the circumstances of how that really happened, but once he left that family.
Well, he was of a certain age.
Yeah, he could bounce.
He was of a certain age.
But you could see when the first time she went down there, his life was very well structured.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was in school.
He's playing football.
He seemed like a good kid. His eyes was clear.
Yeah.
Like, he was very respectful.
Yes.
Like, he was good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then she came in and was like, oh, well, you're my son, and I want to spend more time with you. And I'm not blaming her for everything, but, like,
no,
throwing that curveball in his life to that degree without parenting skills, like you said, you see now what's happening.
And everyone is not equipped for television.
Yeah, that's
Everyone is not equipped to deal with what comes with television.
Yeah.
And I mean that in, you know, the good and the bad.
Yeah, the both.
You know, and so I wish that kid well. And listen, hopefully this is nothing more than a phase and he just has some good-ass edibles.
Because he got it in him to be decent, because we saw it.
Like, he know better.
The older boy has been through a lot more, it feels like. But the older boy, I guess to his credit, that's why he's not really on the show. Because he's like, you know what? I ain't for TV.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not fucking with this. And I'm not really fucking with you, Sky.
Yeah, like, because, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, but
I'm not
really fucking with you because your shit is bonkers and it's not helpful. So, I don't know. It was just an interesting, that part of the episode was interesting first. And other part which was interesting was, you know, Puma's back on the show, and him and C's are allegedly partners now in 113th Street, whatever. But Puma's, well, guess it's his wife, right? Are they married? Or his girl, whatever.
The girl that...
She ain't fucking with C's at all. She's like, I ain't forgot nothing.
I don't blame
you. And she's looking at Puma like, why are you doing this? Like, this nigga's garbage. He, like, we had fights with this nigga. Like, apparently, like, at some point, they were at the movies. They saw C's at the movies. Puma said hi to C's. C's got mad that Puma spoke to him. And they got into it. And then some girl that was with C's punched Shawnee in the face. But then Shawnee ended up beating the girl's ass so bad that the girl had to go to the hospital. So she's like, dude, like, what are you talking about? Like, how are you forgiving this nigga?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting dynamic too. But I'm gonna try to stick to see, because I didn't watch last season.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna try
to watch the season, see where it goes. Did we talk about Jeffrey Epstein last week?
Not really, right?
I just want to mention it because it's a bit of an old story. But you know, he's dead.
Yeah.
And now more information is coming out about, like, his, like, first of all, he was, and I'm still not clear on this, maybe you could explain it to me, he was convincing all these really wealthy people to give him bread to kind of, like, invest it for them?
He started out, Jeffrey started out as a teacher. He branched off and worked at a Wall Street firm for a little while.
Yeah.
Hold
your thought. Apparently, he was fucking the students at the school.
Well, I was going.
You're getting to that. Okay. All right.
So he goes into this very, you know, this very sort of niche world,
mm-hmm.
And then he gains access to some people with some really
wild
money.
Paper. Yeah.
I think he gained access to those people based on the fact that he was facilitating or had access to young girls that were. Willing is definitely not the right word.
But he was pimping young girls, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a symbiotic relationship with his business, and it was part and parcel, and it came with it. And I think that there's some really, really wild shit that's happened that happens on Wall Street, definitely back in the 80s and 90s. All that Wolf of Wall Street shit is very real.
They're definitely doing Wall Street, the movie, all that shit is dead real.
So I think that that's what happened. I also think he also ran a legitimate business. Like, I don't think his business was a front. I think his business was in addition to, is my point. To
other shit.
Yes. So I don't think he was, you know, I don't think he had some fucking office, you know, yeah. some 800 square foot office yeah. with a his name on crayon. Yeah. I don't think it was that. I think he was running a legit operation. But I also think that because he was able to access this stuff, and one thing we know about being in worlds where access matters is that people want to know that you can keep your mouth closed. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit is really paramount. Like, that's why, you know, there's not a lot of leaks on people like Beyonce and shit like that. Right. Because you don't get that level of access without having been tested. And by tested, I mean just having been down for years mm-hmm, and knowing right. that they can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I think the same thing with them. So I think what they did was probably giving him some money. Let's test this water. Right now, we're kind of in business again. Yeah, that's yeah. Symbiosis.
You
right,
watch like, my back. I watch
exactly.
Yours. I mean, to and the so, point where this yes. nigga had an island,
which is
he had
which
a
is,
fucking yes. island.
So I think he. So when I saw that list that you sent, or that list that's been yeah, circling yeah, around, yeah. let me just say again. I think Epstein was still running a very
yeah. Don't mean everybody on that list was fucking young girls.
That's the problem with a list like that.
Yeah.
Is that
because it lumps everybody together.
It lumps everybody together. So this idea is that fucking Oprah is walking past.
And Naomi Campbell.
And Naomi Campbell is like in one room hanging out while some fucking 70-year-old man is raping a 13-year-old girl. It's like, it's false.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of activity that goes on those islands. Sometimes people aren't even on those islands.
Right.
True.
Like, I'm sure Richard Branson has a fucking staff. He's not on that island every time somebody comes to use that prepared island.
Because I know I saw an interview where they spoke to a guy who wrote a deep article about Epstein a few years ago. And they were asking him, like, and he went to the island. And he said that Jeffrey Epstein called him because he felt like he could trust him. He said, I'm going to do the interview with you.
Right.
Because I feel like I could trust you. So he called him, and he said he flew him down to the island, and the people who, I forget where I was watching this, but whatever. And then people were interviewing the guy who wrote the article were like, so what was happening down there? Like, what did you see? And he was like, I didn't see shit. Like, he met me. He said the island was crazy. Like, the way it was laid out was dope.
But it's not like an orgy.
Yeah, he said he met me at the dock, you know, or at the little runway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He said he had an ATV or like a golf cart kind of thing.
Yep.
And we drove, and he was showing me all around the island, and we were talking. And they were like, oh, you didn't see no girl? He was like, no. Like,
because that's
people don't seem to understand how it works. First of all, it's not Sodom and Gomorrah, like all day. Every day, right?
It's just like a bunch of 13-year-old girls.
Yeah,
topless
and you probably
shit.
Already said this, Sean. Sorry, but Epstein was a collector of people. He liked the access, he liked the proximity, and he mm-hmm. liked how it elevated him in stature. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people who like cross paths at parties and stuff like that, but not all knew about, like, maybe they heard the rumblings, but like Sean said, it doesn't mean everybody was like.
And Epstein basically was the plug.
Yeah.
He was like,
connector.
For this amount of money, obviously as long as your shit is super legit and it's right. real, for this amount of money, I could get you 15 minutes of Bill Clinton.
Right, right.
I'll get you 20 minutes with Oprah. Yeah. Like, but it's going to cost you this, and I'm going to look at all your background and all your shit to make sure that you're not, you know, just trying to get close to them to do some dumb shit, because then that'll make me look stupid.
That'll make me look stupid, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he basically, to me, And there's a lot more people that are moving like this, minus the girls, even though there's some people doing that too, and boys. He kind of was a Madoff,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, I have access to all this shit, mm-hmm. but you have to buy into it, and I'm only fucking people at a certain level.
Manafort.
Yeah.
That's how Manafort
was. Yeah, very much like, I can get you over to Crimea, some Arab sheik worth, you know, $40
billion.
Yeah. It's going to cost you this. And this is my cut, and blah, blah, blah. Again, like you said, it's how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
But a lot of niggas don't want to see that. And again, Epstein's shit became crazy because of the girls, and then he got murdered and all that. And I'm sure there'll be a movie
one day. Well, because the whole deposition came out, you know, obviously. even though now they've said, I think Barr said that there's no reason to not believe it was a suicide. It might have been a suicide, but it also still could have been a suicide that everyone inside the jail conveniently let happen, right? Because, like, the guards were napping.
For three hours?
Because what I think people are missing is the thought that Jeffrey Epstein would not have wanted to kill himself rather than go through this, right?
Who naps for three hours? Me and you was on
both
duty.
The guards.
We're both napping for three hours?
Yeah, especially now with everybody having access to a phone. Exactly. I'm sure with the lights and all of that sort of stuff, it all seems fishy. It all sounds very convenient. No one has still identified why and who took him off suicide watch.
Right. Because that's really the kicker. Because he had just been moved off suicide watch like the day before.
Kicker here is that who okayed, at what point did his psyche eval confirm that he was okay to come off suicide watch? He had literally just attempted, I'm using air quotes, attempted to do the same thing a couple weeks prior. So that's, you know, again, all of these things are...
I think it literally could have been somebody slipped him. You know, I don't know what he hung himself with. Somebody slipped him a belt or something, was like, listen.
Handle your business.
We taking you off suicide watch.
Yeah.
This might be an easy way out.
Or they might have said...
You got a few hours.
Or somebody we'll might come check said, we'll fucking ruin your family.
Yeah.
Or your other people. You know, like, people get pressured
into
doing that, especially when they've been... when they've showed their hand at being susceptible to committing suicide, right?
This is my thing, I'll give you credit for this, even though you was half joking. You know me, I don't even know the nigga's dead. Like, we ain't seen nobody. We ain't seen nobody. Yeah. Like, it might have been, like, oh, he killed himself, and they like, nigga, go to the island, and you'll be there for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
right.
Like I said, I'm not. Again, I don't know if we'll ever know. I'm not fully convinced that he's dead.
I'm kind of convinced that he's dead because the documents, the depositions were unsealed the day before he killed himself, and it was only going to get worse from there.
Yeah,
and for a man like that, the idea of having to give everybody up, like, publicly be humiliated and be, you know, isolated for the rest of his life, even if he wasn't in jail for life, to, like, lose all that access, all that money, all that privilege, all that specialness, for him, killing himself probably would have been preferable.
And let's not forget that one of the people he rocked with for a long time is now the current president of the United States.
And just
he
like,
got wild stories on that motherfucker. Because they was moving.
Yeah.
They was rocking and rolling for a long time.
Even though now Trump tries to act like he barely knew
him. Come on, B. That was his man. That was your man. Like Manafort wasn't your man. Right. That's your man.
Yeah.
Like Cohen wasn't your man. Right. That's your man. Stop it. But anyway, so I just wanted to mention that. Real quick, let's lighten it up. Chicken Wars.
Ha! I'm now calling it Game of Chicken.
Okay.
I'm taking it a step up.
Because
it's getting heavy.
So Popeye's, how long ago did they actually introduce the sandwich?
2 weeks? 3 weeks?
So it's only been 2-3 weeks. Because I don't really eat fast food, so I don't know.
I had it last Tuesday.
You went to the joint near your crib?
Yeah.
I went to the joint.
Before it blew up. I literally ate it maybe a day before it was
I don't even eat this stuff. I don't eat. I haven't had fried chicken in like probably 3 years.
Right.
I don't eat this stuff. I went to the Popeyes to get the joint. No, the shit was sold out.
Oh yeah.
I went 2 days ago, Tuesday. And then the lady was like, "We don't. We don't have no more."
It's at peak craziness now. You're probably gonna have. I think like in another week it'll die down a little bit because right now it's at peak.
Popeye couldn't pay.
Not at all.
For this marketing and promotion. You couldn't make this campaign up. You couldn't pay for it. Again, Black Twitter again takes something and makes it a thing and drives so much money into this corporation.
Right.
You know, now with the Chick-fil-A and everybody else kind of like having the wars.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's not all black. So, okay. It started with Black Twitter, but when it started escalating was when the other brands started jumping in, right?
Yes, especially Chick-fil-A.
So Chick-fil-A jumps in, The thing I really want to point out to people, though, is that Popeyes and Wendy's been doing this socially. Like, they've had the Black Twitter voice. They've been, like, Wendy's dropped a mixtape last year. You know what I mean? Like, they've been in this ecosystem.
Yeah.
So, like, Chick-fil-A put out, like, a very pretty innocuous type joint. Like, they were like, oh, the original bun, blah, 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 whatever. And then Popeyes was like, I mean, y'all okay?
Yeah,
and
y'all good?
And then Wendy's jumped in talking about y'all fools fighting for second best chicken sandwich. Yeah. Then Popeyes was like, y'all have one of our biscuits, so y'all thirsty. So then that's when everybody was like, oh, shit.
It's a thing. Shit.
And that's when the memes and stuff really started
popping off. And that's when niggas started but then this is what happened, as you know. What happened is niggas started buying the sandwich and posting themselves eating it.
Right.
And that's when it really became a thing, when people started eating the sandwich and, like, talking, like, yo, this shit is good.
Well, I posted that, and that happened at the same time, because I posted my little review.
Okay.
And I ate mine. Kel's posted hers. Yeah, but so like Kelly's. You said, people started doing it more. What I also wanted to say, though, was, like, Black people, every time Black Twitter pops something off, you ain't gotta act like we're stupid for making something pop.
Niggas is having some fun. It's okay.
Like I said,
y'all making that corporation rich while y'all killing yourselves.
Popeyes is part of the culture. They already had the voice. They were already on Black Twitter. This is not them pulling secrets from Black Twitter. And also, like, the shit is funny. Like, can we joke about some chicken? And it's good. It's a good fucking sandwich. Can we eat the chicken?
Have you had it yet, bro?
No, I haven't. I like Popeyes.
You're not a fan, though.
It doesn't really taste like a Popeyes item.
But, like, if I'm, you know, Popeyes is one of those things where I'll definitely eat it. Yeah. Right. It's there. But I don't go out of my way to find Popeyes.
All I'm going to say is I didn't see nobody telling white people they wasting their energy when they got the cronut popping. You know what I mean? Like,
But that's just niggas being niggas. But it's just been amazing, like I said, just to watch it from the, you know, from a marketing standpoint of how much it's become this thing, and people are, like, doing the taste tests and the battles, and, you know, the people posting out, you know, this thing tastes good. It got the pickle on it.
And
Popeyes is like, you can't buy this. We couldn't have sat in a boardroom and come up with this plan.
That's just sometimes you get the luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw. And I'm wondering how long it's going to last. Because the thing is, like, again, I haven't had it, but according to, it seems like most people, that's the other thing that's working. The sandwich is actually living up to the hype.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, people are saying, yo, that shit is really good. So, I mean, even if of course, things move on, but, like, I guess that chicken sandwich is going to become, like, a thing now. Yeah. Like,
I don't think it was a limited time thing. I think it's just a new item.
Even if it wasn't, ain't now.
But them poor Popeyes employees, they tired, Lord.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can see the lady 2 days ago when she told me they ain't got no more. I could see it in her eyes. Like, is this nigga on spaz?
Right. Niggas don't know how to act. At least go to the Popeyes and act like you got some sense.
That was the Lord talking, because I was like, you know what? The Lord ain't want me to have that.
I'm going to bring you a sandwich. I went home and had some
salmon.
I'm going to bring you a sandwich when I get back.
I'm going to go back over there maybe. Oh, this weekend's probably going to be bonkers again, too. Yeah. I don't know. But, yes, that's one. Last thing I wanted to mention before we wrap, this Jay-Z NFL thing, which is kind of going through multiple iterations. We spoke a bit about it last week, right?
Yeah, because it was breaking as we were doing it.
Since then, it's come out that Jay-Z actually allegedly is not in the running to be an owner for a team. I guess he's still going to be doing this social, what is it called? Social what?
I don't know what the fuck it is.
Social justice.
Social justice and being involved with the Super Bowl halftime.
The main thing was being the executive producer of the Super Bowl halftime. The social justice arm seems to be secondary because that's the one they haven't shared any information on yet.
And then Colin Kaepernick, hasn't said much, but
he hasn't said anything.
Well, he did post. He was like, to my guys, Eric Reed and Kenny Stills, stay strong, even when the enemies are coming at us. His girl posted kind of going at Jay-Z's neck. What'd you think about all this?
I've said before that I think how I don't like the relationship in terms of how she uses her public voice.
Yeah.
As what I feel like is proxy for Colin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I don't want to use that phrase, but you know what I mean.
And I'm not saying that she's not worthy of an opinion, or she would not have said those things. But it does feel like very strategic, like she's talking for him.
Yeah.
I think, and one of the things I always try to make sure that on this show is that I don't say anything that I can't stand in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like, Jay-Z, this rollout was absolutely horrendous.
Horrible.
It was poor.
Poorly thought out.
And it was poorly thought out.
Mm-hmm.
The optics were terrible.
Terrible.
And it was absolutely disingenuous to pretend that people were not right to feel skeptical about the way you went about last year's Super Bowl and the way you pontificated and you soapboxed and you did all of the things and used every leverage and every bit of your power
to tell stop people not to, perform.
Not to do that, to then in turn go right there and connect with them. Now, I think another thing here is that these are complex things and we can agree and disagree with people mm-hmm. in different capacities.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree that it is time for what are the next steps? What are the next action items on the agenda mm-hmm. for us to move forward on?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's ridiculous for Jay to say that we're past kneeling. I think those words are ridiculous.
Those words are horrible.
They're terrible. Especially
sitting next to Roger Goodell.
Yucking it up.
Yeah, laughing.
Like, right? Elbowing you up.
We're past kneeling, right?
So that was a terrible thing. I thought it was also disingenuous to call that a press conference. That was not a press conference.
Yeah,
that was
a press there.
That was softballs from friends of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And again, disingenuous on how this was rolled out. The idea that he was going to become an owner, he never said that. He never intimated to that. I don't fancy myself some expert, but I know how ownership goes a little bit. And I didn't think that was going to happen.
Right.
Like, that is a old boys network and a few black people that do and can get access to that is old money.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, guys, I don't even know that there are any black owners in the NFL.
There aren't.
There are a few that may have some minority stakes in franchises.
Maybe.
You know, we're talking, you know, 2%, 3%,
4%,
you know,
right.
small ownership pieces. But we're talking about the price of admission for NFL franchises,
insane.
$1.6 billion,
just,
my guy.
Just to get this.
That's the Buffalo Bills. That is the worst. That is the cheapest you're going to get.
Yeah.
Okay? So aside from that, he never said that. He never mentioned that. I never thought that was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said before on the previous show, I do think that it would be somewhat incredibly irresponsible for a person who runs a label and management company to flat out deny an opportunity of that magnitude, especially when you have to answer to people.
Right.
And contrary to popular belief, I know we don't want to say that, but Jay-Z and Roc Nation, that's a parent company.
Yeah.
Okay, Live Nation... it's the parent company.
Yeah.
Right.
So they got to answer to people.
They got to generate profits.
Profit. Yeah.
They got to generate profits. So, yeah, I just, like I said, the rollout was terrible. And like I said, the kneeling thing really irked me for two reasons. Number one, it now makes people who are going to kneel, like Kenny Stills and those guys, it makes people look at them like, yo, why are y'all still doing that? Like,
right.
Jay-Z said it's over. It kind of gives people people who are against it anyway,
the license
to really shit. The second thing is, I didn't like that. He used one word that I hated, which was we're tired.
It
was
like,
nigga,
you don't speak
who's we?
Us.
Nigga,
yeah.
Like, you don't play no ball?
Yeah.
Like, how are you saying, but that kind of showed where his mind was like, I'm the king of the blacks.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking for all the blacks, so we're tired of doing this, so now everybody's going to stop because I said so. Well, that's how maybe I'm taking it too far, but that's kind of how I took it.
I didn't take it that way, but why would he not feel that way when he said last year, don't perform at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Right.
And niggas was like, yo, Jay said we can't perform at the Super Bowl.
you know
what I'm saying? And then niggas taking shots at Gladys Knight, who sung the national anthem, who's from Atlanta. Like, you know, and shots at Big Boy, who came out on somebody's set, whatever. So, yeah, that's it, man. I just wanted to mention that. We're going to wrap it up.
Oh, Big did a mini set. Big Boy did a mini set in the middle of...
Oh, somebody's set. He came out on
in the middle of... Who was the fucking...
I forget. Was it Maroon 5?
Yeah.
But again, like, he's... Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
See, he's from Atlanta. Like, he represents the whole culture.
Yeah.
Like, of course he did a mini set. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up on that note. We may or may not tape next week. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I won't.
Yeah, because it's the holiday week and all that. I don't know. We'll see. But either way, we'll see y'all soon.
Yeah. Later, y'all. Happy Ladies. Labor Day.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.